We ought to attend to this patience of Aristotle for staying with problems, because it will help us to understand the somewhat rambling nature of his thought. It's only if we recognize Aristotle's patience that we'll be able to see why it is that every three or four chapters in a long treatise of his, Aristotle will utter what is almost a trademark remark of his, "Well, let's now start all over. Let's make a fresh start and see how the argument has come so far and see where we need to go." Or sometimes he will simply say, "So this leads to a dead end, but let's start all over, perhaps from a different perspective." We'll understand this kind of rambling nature of Aristotle's thought only when we see it as a kind of virtue that he has, a virtue of being willing to stay with problems until they become finally clear for us. It is, it seems to me, furthermore, a virtue that we ought to emulate just because it is a virtue. Aristotle has a sort of version of what another English poet, John Keats, called negative capability. Keats described that quality, the quality of negative capability, as characterizing a person capable of being in uncertainties, mysteries, doubts, without any irritable reaching after fact and reason. Well, with Aristotle, that's not going to be obviously quite an apt description, since Aristotle stays in uncertainties, mysteries, and doubts, but hardly without reaching after fact and reason. But with Aristotle, we might be able to say instead another version of Keats' negative capability, the ability to remain in uncertainty, mystery, and doubt without any irritable reaching after closure and the cessation of reason. And in describing that ability, the ability to stay in doubt without an irritable reaching after closure and the cessation of reason, in saying that that's a virtue, that is an intellectual virtue, and I ask, of course, here that you recall our earlier discussion when we talked about Plato of what the term virtue in these contexts means. In saying that that's a virtue, I don't mean that it's a good thing never to come to closure. Obviously, it's a good thing to know when it's appropriate to come to closure, when deliberation and thought and action or conviction must take place. But it's equally obvious that we are all of us in danger of premature closure, in fact, in as great danger of premature closure as we are of procrastination. And Aristotle is a wonderful antidote to that. And perhaps more importantly, he's a wonderful reminder of the fact that there are some disciplines of thought, and philosophy may be one of them, in which action and conviction, closure, are perhaps not what is required, where negative capability is exactly what's appropriate. It may not always be necessary to say, "So, we have to come down on this side of the issue." If action is required, then we have to, in fact, make a decision and come to action, and therefore we have to reach one or the other side of the issue to come to, because, in fact, we have to know how we are indeed going to act. But maybe in other areas of our life, other models are more appropriate, models in which we don't necessarily reach closure, but simply stay attentive to the complexities of thought and language, to the conceptual shape of an area of our world that the philosopher has drawn our attention to. So when we read Aristotle, I ask you to emulate him in the sense that you also remain open to the possibility that at the end of the day, all we will have to say is, "This is how the land looks. This is what the conceptual area that we're talking about looks like. We want to say this, we want to say this, we want to say this." And there is finally no, as it were, no bottom line that we can come to, except saying, "Well, you see the respects then in which a good life, in order to be led well, has got to have this feature and this feature and this feature and this feature." And if somebody says, "Yeah, but what's the basic fundamental feature that it has to show?" One wants to say, "Just go back and read it over again." Philosophy in this respect is rather like listening to a piece of music, a long piece of music, or reading a long poem, and having somebody say at the end of the long poem or piece of music, "Yes, but what was it about?" And then a critic, it seems to me, is going to have to want to say, "Let's start all over again. This is what it's about." And will then repeat the poem or play the piece of music all over again.